Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Show Radio. My name is Andrew.
And I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. If you want to interact with us or interact with folks just like you, join our Discord. And that's skip.gg14180. That's an interesting number. 14180 is an actual codec from Metal Gear. Okay. If you want to give us feedback, or have a comment in the show, have your comments in the show, you can join our Discord, skip.gg14180. I kind of make it rhyme a little bit so it could be easier to remember. So podcasters who are considering podcasting for the first time, you can get a free month from Libsyn by using our promo code TSR, that's in caps. And if you want to see me or Daniela anywhere on the web, you can see Daniela at streamerlinks.com/MissDJM. You could see me on the internet, streamerlinks.com/Uriah. That's spelled U-R-I-Y-Y-A. So yeah, so housekeeping stuff. Site layout has been changed. Google Podcast was added to that in the RSS feeds. It's a simpler layout. Definitely playing catch up on episodes on the website. So I started working on that this week. A lot took place this week. And Daniela, what is up?
You just put me on the spot. I just went blank there.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. I'm excited about this coming up week. I mean, I'm excited. I loved what came out this week, but like next week, 4 days from now, depending on when you're listening in, today is May 16th. So in 4 days,
yeah,
we get Crucible. And in 6 days, I finally get Maneater.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on. There's a lot that took place this week. So I know we're going to cover most of that. And if anything else comes up as we're having the conversation, that's going to be dope. So for those who are not familiar with Maneater, give them a little, snippet of the excitement.
So you're a shark. There are different types of sharks. It's a shark RPG. And it's just madness and craziness because you can level up your shark and unlock different abilities for different attacks, and it's gonna be gruesome. Like, I'm excited. I feel like, oh man. When did we hear about Maneater? Was it last year or was it year before?
Probably the year before.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was 2018. So finally. So it's coming from Tripwire Interactive. Let's see, it's gonna be available on PC, which I pre-ordered it on the Epic Game Store. PlayStation and Xbox One. So, and I believe they also announced that later on in the year, then it'll be on Nintendo Switch. Okay. So, yay!
Do you want to tell everybody about my crazy process?
Oh man. I don't think it's a crazy process. It depends on who's looking at it. If you don't really know what's happening, then yeah, it looks like a crazy process, but all your routing going there, but it's clean though at the same time. It's really easy to read where it's going, but maybe that's just me.
You're too nice to me. I appreciate that though. I appreciate that. It's so it was a little crazy because I was trying to install a voice mod, and for whatever reason, voice mod introduced a driver that kind of made a conflict. And so now I have to reinstall VoiceMeter, which won't take long. It's just that I need to have you coming in to the voiceover IP section. And right now it's not. So it's throwing everything off. So right now you're coming in input 4 instead of input 2. So that's kind of like, I'm looking at it. I'm like, that's kind of weird to me right now. Cause input 4 is for basic, music, you know, game music and stuff. And then, input 5 is exclusively for the browser audio stuff. So yeah. So there's a method to the madness. some method to the madness.
Yeah, but you understand the method, and as long as you know what's going on.
True.
That's all that matters.
True. This is true. So yeah, so cast me out. How's your week?
I've never cleaned so much at work. Okay. Our buildings and everything that we got building inspections coming in, and we have like a couple different locations, and the location that we're cleaning, I'm not there like nearly as often as my main one. It was a lot worse, and then the guys in my shop cleaned it up, and it did look a lot better. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's great. No, like a lot of it was like really the childish things where you take the stuff and you just hide it somewhere else. But yeah, supervisor came on through. No, she was not having it. So we cleaned a lot, and it's gonna be like that for a couple of weeks. But other than that, I mean, had a pretty good week. Still playing a lot of Animal Crossing. Yeah, and I'm just trying to see what I can improve. I still haven't gotten back to streaming regularly, but there's a couple things that I'm trying to test it out and see how I liked. One of them was a wireless XLR mic, so lavalier mic. And it was from Pile, and it was $68, I believe, on Amazon. I was not impressed with it. Not impressed at all. So I'm going to be returning it. I tried it out. I messed around with my settings, tried all these different things, looked on the internet, seeing the, you know, what kind of improvements I could possibly make and what people did, because I had some pretty good reviews on it. And, you know, even Googling it, I had some people come up and said they like it.
Right.
I think it sounds terrible. Absolutely terrible. I'm like, no.
Even with filters and stuff put on it?
Yeah, it just wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think one of the reviews I came across is that he bought it for his daughter because she's a singer at their church and it sounds great. I'm like, no, you're doing your daughter injustice by making her use that thing.
Wow.
Oh, he said how I'm feeling about it. I'm like, yeah, this is nope. No, and it's not like I need it, because what I'm going to be using it for is mainly for my VR streams, which right now, because of the entire setup and the way that all the audio is routed, it's just the mic through my headset. I mean, I can still use this mic, but it's not as easy to use something that's not wireless, and I have to, like, it's not hands-free, so... It's a little bit of a hassle to use the headset mic, which actually sounds a lot better than that Pile lavalier mic that I was using, though.
Mm.
But I think the next thing I'm going to try is the mod mic. They have one. It's just that it's wired, and that's what I was trying to avoid.
Right.
But I can get a really long extension and just, you know, tie it in together with my already existing wire from my headset. So... We're probably going to go that route. I was just trying to find a good alternative. That's like budget safe.
Right.
So, and then that one's actually the same, like roughly around the same price around there as the Pile mic that I just tried out.
Indeed. Well, I got a little project right after this, right after the podcast. I'm going to uninstall all of the audio drivers in the machine and then put everything back together. So I'm looking forward to doing that. It should be quick. I don't foresee a lot of issues with that. So that's what's up. And then, anything else happened for you this week?
Is there? I don't think so. I think it's been a pretty chill week. I got to hang out with some family friends, not physically. We all did it online.
Right.
So that was pretty fun. It's nice to try to have some type of normalcy, but not like I can actually physically see them here anyways.
Right.
They're all in the mainland, but to, as an adult, I think it's really hard to still, it's hard, but if your friends are worth it, you're going to put in that work and that effort to make sure to maintain that relationship, to check in on them, especially with so many different schedules and having kids and making time. You make it happen.
Agreed.
What about you? How was your week?
My week was filled with YouTube streams and cleaning up the stuff and on a blog and checking in on family here and there. And, you know, it's a mixture of all that stuff, trying to stay on top of the news and then being excited for the stuff that's taking place next week. And what did you say? 4 days? Yeah. 4 days from now, depending on when you listen to this. So I'm excited about those things. And OBS has been an interesting thing, simply because the simple setting in OBS is not simple. And I think that I've always been under the impression that because it was in advance, it was just like a lower tier of settings. But as I started doing some research on it, it's pretty much making the proper adjustments to maximize all your stuff without going into the advanced settings for you to do it yourself. And once I embraced that, then, and I started doing like the 1080p streams on Twitch and stuff like that, I haven't lost frames on anything. And I think that that setting is often overlooked. And then I was thinking about the conversation that I had with Jess from OBS, because she works on the project as well. And she was telling me, hey, you know, don't look down on the simple setting. And then, you know, and then it started coming back to me when I started messing with it this week. I was like, yeah, but they told me this already. So why did I think that, you know? And so the point is, it's like the simple setting is not simple. If you use it, you can get some good stuff with it. And I even tested it with Destiny last night. I was running Destiny on the highest settings, and then I was running the simple settings with the Lankos filter, which is like more sampling and stuff like that. And that thing ran just like no problem. So just testing stuff, cleaning stuff out, you know, staying on top of the quote unquote, the broadcasting stuff and YouTube metrics. That's always fun, reading that and understanding that. So combination of all those things.
What else did you learn? I saw your tweet about YouTube chat.
Oh yeah. So YouTube chat is interesting because the pop-in chat for YouTube, if you layer in OBS, you have to do it for each session because the code of the chat is different. So I thought it was a static chat, very similar to Twitch, because Twitch chat is the same for your channel. But for YouTube, when you pop out the chat and you, let's say you do a stream on, let's say, Ghost of Tsushima on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, let's say you do GTA 5 is free now and you want to talk about that on Wednesday, those two pop-out chats have different codes. So you have to update your browser and OBS to reflect the code on Wednesday, because the Monday code is different than the code on Wednesday. So I didn't know that. So when the chat was having a conversation with me on one of the streams recently, I thought the chat was being updated, but because I didn't update the OBS browser for that particular chat, then it was just like a static thing from the last stream. So that was good to learn. But other than that, I mean, YouTube's backend for streaming stuff is pretty flawless once you understand how it works.
You liking it?
I dig it simply because, you know, definitely building my channel as well as understanding the metrics and what's working on my channel, what's not, you know, there's things that I want to do. There's things that I want to stream and talk about. I don't know if there's an audience for it. And I'm kind of like trying to talk myself out of it, because I know if I do the stream, then there's a potential audience that will show up for it. And if I don't do it, I won't know who that audience is. Right. So
yeah.
I've been going back and forth on, should I do it? What day to do it? You know, what hour? And then so I'd have to check the metrics to see if, you know, like how many people that are actual subscribers are on around that time, because you can look at that metrics also on YouTube, and then decide if I want to do it on a day where most people don't stream, which is rare because that could be a Friday, but on YouTube it doesn't matter because there's so many people on YouTube, right? So I think I just have to decide to do it. And then I don't consider myself an expert in this particular topic, but I've done a lot of research to understand it more. So is it going to be a stream of, we're all in this together, so let's iron it out stream? Or is it, I'm coming in with information that you may not have, and here's what I learned stream. So I don't know. Or both. I don't know. So I'm still debating on if I even want to execute it or not. And if it's going to be like a, you know, crap show or whatever. I don't know.
It can't be a crap show. You're good.
Yeah. I mean, it's been refreshing to see that, people appreciate the content that I've been putting out on YouTube, you know, but I just, you never know. You never know. I think it's going to go well if I decide to do it. And, we'll just have to see. I don't know. Maybe I just need to be a little bit more confident in what I've learned and just execute on it. But, you know, that those things, we're human. And I think at the end of the day, like, we're human too. We go through the same struggles of should I put this out or not? And this is one of the things that has been on my mind the last couple of days.
Well, okay. I mean, you should have more confidence in yourself. Most definitely. What you do is great. Don't doubt yourself. Don't doubt it.
I appreciate that. We'll see. We shall see. I appreciate that. Your support is always amazing. But yeah, so these are some of the things, and I'm looking forward to destroying my voice meter once we're done. That's going to be fun.
Oh my goodness.
It's fun. And I think that, I think people are like, even the conversations that I see on social about voice meter, it's either all praise or non-praise, right? There isn't an in between. It's rare that I see something in between. I think that, you know, it has its ups and downs and stuff like that. And I think that for what it does is pretty dope. So I'm looking forward to, you know, shredding it off the machine and then putting it back together.
Yeah, I think my only big project, which I'm not going to do today because we got some stuff and we need the internet today and I don't want to try troubleshooting probably tomorrow. I did buy a new modem finally. You know, like last month I was having some internet issues and they said it's like, okay, this is temporary fix. You know, replace this. It finally came in because it's not a priority item to ship. And it's a little bit of an upgrade.
Okay. How's it going?
I don't know. I got the Aeris surfboard. What is this? Which model is this? The SB8200. The one I currently have is the 6183. So, some upgrades to speeds, but then also it's dependent on, you know, Spectrum offering those speeds. But at least it's upward scalable and it'll last me a while because, the current one that I have, the 6183, I've had 6-7 years. It's quite an investment. It's like I can't remember exact price, but it's just over $100 when I bought it then. And, I was like, yeah, you can rent your unit from, you know, your internet service provider. But for me, renting it was like $8 a month. So within the first year and a half, I already paid off or paid back for whatever I spent on, you know, my modem. And then it lasted me 5 more years after that.
Right.
And as long as it's like compatible and it's on your internet service provider's list of being compatible, I mean, I think it's worth the investment in having that additional control over. Choose what you want.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. That, cause we have to actually invest in the modem as well because we're paying like a $5-$6 fee for it now. So yeah, that's definitely something that, you know, it's just making sure it's compatible with the service that you're getting.
Yeah. I feel it's worth it for me. Not that $8 is a lot, but
it adds up.
Over time it is.
Yeah. It adds up. Definitely adds up. So yeah, so that's dope. That's dope. So speeds are strong. Speeds are what you want.
Well, I'm not installing it until tomorrow because I don't want to troubleshoot today. It's not to say that I'm going to have to, but in case I do, I don't have time for that today because we got some plans and we need the internet.
Right.
So I don't want to. Like it's okay for right now. Like what my modem and everything is doing right now is going to get through for today. And then tomorrow when neither of us needs to stream, neither of us needs to really the internet, then I will go and, do that whole process, which is a lot easier if you haven't, any listeners haven't actually, bought your own personal modem and setup. I can say for Spectrum that it's as easy of just take it out of the box, have it ready, plugged in, and then just calling customer service. They walk you through the process. You just got to give them, you know, the MAC address, the model number. You hook it up. They send their signal, whatever patches or updates that they apply on their end. And that's kind of it. You're good to go.
Okay. So you buy it, you send them, you call them, give them the information, and they turn it off for you.
Yep. Pretty much.
Okay.
Super simple and easy to do, but, you know, technology, Murphy's Law, things can happen. So I just want to make sure I reduce the chances of that or the headache so that I have as much time, you know, go ahead and make changes or do whatever I need to do.
Right. No, that's dope. I hope things work out once you start messing with it.
I'll let you know.
Yeah. Definitely keep me posted on that. So what do you want to hit first? Because this week was a week of news.
We can go down the list.
Okay. All right, so first things first. Go ahead.
Okay. So, no, wait. We're going to start from the top here. Second to the top. Ghost of Tsushima, which I need somebody now to tell me the correct enunciation of this. Because I've been saying Tsushima. But then I was like watching the state of play and it sounds so much differently. It's like Tsushima? I want to know the correct way to say this.
Yeah, I don't know. I say Tsushima.
So somebody come out over here and tell me. But either way, it's still the same game. And, you know, I really dug it. It was a really beautiful game. And I can see how people are going out there and saying, you know, it's just a Japanese Assassin's Creed. And it's weird because, because it's just like when I am reading about it and hearing people saying that, I was like, you make it sound like it's a bad thing.
Right.
Like, I can kind of see it. But I also see it for what it is, and it's just a beautiful game, and it looks like so much fun. I love that there's, you know, when they're doing the mission and they showed two different ways that you can go about this message, like you just go direct, you just like go in there like a boss so you can sneak around. You know, I like having different options, and I love the customization that I saw in there that aids in the way of your playstyle.
Right.
And I don't, you know, really feel like Assassin's Creed really, really offers that, but, you know, if the people just see something new and they need to relate it with the closest thing so they can understand it, you know, being compared or being called like, you know, the Japanese version of Assassin's Creed, like it's not a bad thing. I love Assassin's Creed. It took me a little while to get around to it, but I really do love it.
Right.
So I really dug it. And like, just, I appreciate them taking the time for you to just, or not you, but them to like stop and enjoy and embrace the scenery that they created.
Yeah.
And that opening, and you're just overlooking it. And then it's like, you know, let the wind guide you. I'm like, okay, Pocahontas. But it was beautiful. And I can't wait to get on it. It's like, what, July? So, 2 more months. Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed what I saw. Like, even when they were showing it, because I was streaming it on YouTube, they showed the smokestacks in the beginning, and you started traveling on a horse, and there's just the whole scenery of the game. The landscape is absolutely stunning, right? And I guess one of the things I really enjoyed is the fact that you can change how your outfit looks with the dye. They talked about that during the experience of the gameplay, and the fact that Sony dedicated the entire state of play to that, because everyone's been talking about gameplay that they want to see from stuff, and they really, you know, made sure that they stayed on that task, which was, I think, was good for them, right? Because we want to see what's going to come in the next games that are set to release. I like the combat stuff. I mean, as I was watching it, it really reminded me more of like Sekiro stuff.
Timed attack.
Yeah, I haven't really seen a lot of Assassin's Creeds like that, or invested any time in the last couple of Assassin's Creeds. So I'll say that. But when I was watching this particular thing with Ghost of Tsushima, I kept thinking about was Sekiro when I was trying to sneak around to find the best way to engage with enemies and stuff like that. And I think that this is a great entry point for individuals who do not want to play a game like Sekiro because of the level of difficulty and want to play something that you can do side quests, a mainline quest, and engage in that type of combat. You know, not Neo, not Sekiro, but somewhere in between where there's a balance of the particular gameplay. And this would be that game. You know, where there's a balance of the difficulty could be high, but I think it's balanced enough where you can enjoy the game and just go in and walk around and, you know, just jump on a horse or whatever you want to do. So I think that the fact that it's going to be a great bridge between the most difficult hack and slash strategy type game, if you want to call it that, and something, you know, not so difficult, I think this game is going to fit that market for that. That's where I'm at with it. I think it was really, really well done. I think the presentation was great. I think just understanding how some of the mechanics will work and the game was dope. I'll probably sneak around if I do play it, you know, right away. And I just always enjoyed games that offered that Metal Gear type of feel with moving around stealth stuff. So I dug it.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that I saw that I didn't like. If anything, I'm actually a bit more convinced to play it.
Right.
I was actually really kind of debating if I really want to, but now I'm like, yeah, I need to play it 100%.
Yeah, it's definitely a different vibe than the way information was coming out for it. It didn't seem as clear cut as it is now. And the messaging of the game itself, you know, what to expect, a lot of trailers and stuff. Think about, or, you know, what the game is going to be like, but now that we have actual, this much of a chunk of gameplay stuff to consider and ponder on, I think it's great for some.
I think they did a fantastic job.
Yeah. So there's that. Any other thoughts on that?
I want it already. Okay. I need some time. So I'm good for right now. So I'm glad. That's something to look forward to for July. Which feels like, I don't know. I don't know if it's because of COVID that time seems to sometimes feel like it's lasting forever. Like this year feels like it's way too long. But then,
yeah.
Next thing I know, it's May.
Right.
Like, whoa.
Yeah, we're halfway in already.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And then my son just like, your daughter's graduating this year, yeah? Yeah, my son, he's just, it dawned on me, like, your school year is done, which means you're a senior. Wow.
Yeah,
crazy.
It's just a weird year. And it's definitely a good portion of it has to do with COVID and how just people just were here and then some people are no longer here. And it's just weird. You know, masks have become part of our lifestyle for now. Until further notice, and some areas don't even care. They're just walking around, no masks. So it's just what it is. Some people will abide by safety laws, not laws per se, but you know, you should consider your neighbor if you can, kind of thing. So at any rate, so that's that. I don't know. Did you get the chance to watch Jeff Keighley's Q&A stuff?
Yeah, I did. I watched about 3/4 of it. It was pretty late last night.
All right. So,
I want to know your thoughts first.
Why?
Because I do.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I wanted to know your thoughts first, but I'll go. So, I think that, knowing that the Q&A was going to be something that wasn't going to have announcements or reveals or any trailers like that, I was surprised to see Jeff in a format that way, right?
Where really?
Where he's learning, you know, how to stream and put things together since, you know, I'm sure he usually has like a big production team to help with that. But because of COVID, it was just like him and a monitor and, you know, chat. It was just weird to me, right? There's just that whole dynamic was interesting because I'm sure on a large scale, we see those things where he's sitting down on a panel and then Chad is probably still there, but someone is doing that, right? There's probably like a big production screen somewhere and maybe he's reading a prompter, right? But to see him that close to the screen, learning how to use a mic and, you know, audio device or whatever it was, right? Grabbing random questions, maybe they're random, I don't know, from chat, right? That was interesting. But as I'm listening to the questions, which I knew he wasn't really going to give hints about anything, it wasn't really about a Q&A for me, though, right? And I think that even, and this could easily spin into like content creator stuff, but it wasn't really about the Q&A. I didn't really care about the Q&A. Because I knew nothing was going to really come out of that except, you know, maybe some anecdotes and, you know, some journal stuff, some reminiscing back at things and maybe answer some questions that may be relevant to the things that we're experiencing right now in gaming. But for me, it was mostly about understanding how to properly interact with, and properly, I'll use that very loosely, with individuals who are chat. When you're addressing them, it was more of a media training session for me that a lot of individuals may not watch that because it was Jeff Keighley doing a Q&A when I believe that a lot of individuals should watch that because it was Jeff Keighley do a Q&A, right? Because he's basically showcasing how you should answer certain questions and maintain those relationships that you have with the people that he may be talking about. Hey, Jeff, what do you think about this versus that, right? Hey, Jeff, what do you think about what would you do in this particular situation, right? What studio that's coming up that you think is going to have the next best thing, right? So now you're getting these questions, okay? You've been doing a game award show for the last, you know, 4+ years or whatever it is. And then you have all these relationships within the industry in the last 20+ years. Now you're leveraging that, right? So one wrong thing said can damage, right? That could be a news clip tomorrow, right? And I think that for me, while I'm watching him do this, I'm like, that is brilliant. Like, as you watch him do the stuff and how he may not necessarily answer something because he understands how that could be a news clip tomorrow and navigating that the best way that he knows how, I think that was something worth watching even just for him, even just to watch him, navigate those questions, right? And I know that a lot of content creators may not necessarily watch because it's just a Q&A. It's Jeff Keighley for whatever, however you want to feel about him or anything like that. But I think it was a great example of media training. And I said that on Twitter. I'm like, hey, you know what? This wasn't even about the Q&A. This was about how you carry yourself and leverage and make sure all the relationships that you have intact don't get destroyed because you want to say something random on a streaming platform. And I think a lot of times people get humbled because they have a platform and they want to say whatever they want, right? Whether that's a YouTube or a Twitch or whatever. And then come to find out your stuff start getting affected by that. And then you're humbled to really try to, you know, either tone down what you think you should say, whatever you want, whatever quote unquote that is, versus trying to navigate relationships the right way on the platforms, whether it's, you know, monetization thing or whatever, what have you. So that's what I got from it, that it's something that everybody should watch. Any streamer, any level, that from that whole thing, dude is showing you how to make sure that you don't ruin relationships as you're talking. And that's really what I walked away from with it.
Yeah, well, I have to think about that. When I watched it, I guess in a way I was taking it in that way because I was really, really impressed about his patience. And he's just like, he was just so open, which is so different, like you're saying, because you're so used to him presenting or hosting in such a professional manner, which he still held that professionalism, but it was so much more lax. Like he was, I wouldn't say approachable, because I feel like if I did see him, you know, randomly at some event, like, I don't think he's one of those, you know, you're below me, I'm not going to talk to you type of people.
No, he's approachable. But he's approachable. I've met him in New York at one of the Gears events a couple of years back. He's approachable.
So I think he just like came across that, like, you can totally be like one of my best friends. And I like that because I guess people's personas that they put out there is so different sometimes and can be off-putting. But it was like super chill, like talking with a friend about games. And I love that. Even though he was like doing all the talking.
Right.
But he said, I think he was really good at picking and choosing what he wanted to answer. And it was like done there on the spot, which was really amazing to do. Because that chat was like really going off. And it was going by so fast, and the fact that he could like catch those and pick really good questions, and it also depends on the audience that's watching too, to be able to put forth those really good questions. I enjoyed it. I loved how he went back in his history, you know, attending E3 for the first time as a kid, his dad bringing him for the Sony, the PlayStation 1 reveal, and like that's cool to me.
Yeah, it's it was good. I enjoyed it.
So. I think he did a fantastic job. I hope he does it more often. I kind of do. I hope that, like, this is what we can look forward to periodically. Like, I'm not saying every day. Like, if I see him stream, that'd be cool. But I think, like, I'd love it if he just, like, added that into the Summer Games Fest, like, something impromptu and personal once a month. I don't know. It'd be nice. It'd be really nice. Which kind of brings me up. So what, okay, I know it's only been a couple weeks. And it, from the sounds of it, from his Q&A, kind of seems like they're doing it at, like, as it comes.
Right.
So, like, what are your personal thoughts?
On the fact that they're doing it on a weekly basis, it sounds like?
Yeah, it kind of seems like a weekly basis, but, like he was mentioning, like, the Epic stuff or the Unreal stuff, like, it was just, you know, it's somewhat planned, but somewhat not. Like, if there's... Right. You know, a studio that wants to jump in, like, hey, we got this. Okay, we'll just put you right into our schedule here. This is what's happening. We're doing this. Like, it's done on the fly. I think that's kind of cool. And the quality of the content that they're putting forward, I mean, yeah, they have this huge team to go and do this. But they're doing it from home and bringing all of this news and doing it in such a manner that, like, I feel like it doesn't really change our perspective of what we're expecting from, you know, an actual E3. Like, they're just doing it over a spread amount of time, which is cool.
Right.
And I like that. So I'm just like...
Go ahead.
No, you go. That was my last.
So I think that the fact that they're doing it on a weekly basis is really cool because you can kind of gauge the response of what took place, you know, the week prior. So we saw the Ghost of Tsushima this week. We saw Jeff Keighley's Q&A, and then we did the reflections on that. We also saw, which we have more news coming with the different things that we saw this particular week, even with some of the things that Phil said, right? So as you're navigating through this thing, you can better prepare. And the fact that they're executing that fast is pretty impressive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything come together the way it's coming together. I think it's really good. And I look at it as really like A/B testing stuff, right? So if you, even when you look at the Assassin's Creed thing, right? The way the expectations were set, and as Jeff was saying on the Q&A, expectations are super high, right? Everybody's home to some degree, and everybody wants to see the next best thing, whether that's a gameplay from a particular developer, et cetera, et cetera. But we're trying to make sure that as we're navigating these things on a weekly basis, that you're happy with what we're bringing forth, right? And I think that that's like A/B testing stuff, and to make sure that is going to be things that is going to not only satisfy our quote-unquote desires as it relates to gaming, right? Not necessarily conversations surrounding 30 frames versus 60 frame stuff, but just things that are really giving us hope even in the time, in this time, right? That we need hope, right? Not just in gaming, but just in life in general. And I think that because gaming is an escape, expectations are so high. And I think that you have to really be mindful of how you're navigating that. And I think that doing it on a weekly basis is great. And the stuff that we saw this past week, I didn't really see a lot of negative news based on how this week went, right? So I hope, just projecting here, maybe clairvoyance, maybe just, you know, prophetic, I don't know, that the stuff that's coming up this week doesn't get, you know, trashed on, because you have to understand that these things take time. And I know that there are certain companies that we're expecting things from that may have gotten things canceled in the past, especially going into next week, right? And I think that that's going to be a combination of whatever they decide to put out midweek versus the news that's going to happen Monday, Tuesday, and then the news that's going to happen on Thursday, right? So a combination of that, including whatever happens on Wednesday, we're going to evaluate that, you know, hopefully next Saturday, how that went. So I think it's good. It's good pulse, right? Because usually around, was it June? Mid-June up until August? There's nothing in there, right? Maybe one or two events. But right after three, everything gets quiet, gets dried out. So this pace is really good for just having news on a regular basis, something to talk about and to keep everybody engaged, especially those who create content and give news to individuals who are waiting to hear news or how we think about that particular news. So I think it's good. I think the marketing strategy is great. The weekly cycle to regroup and see the metrics, see the engagement, and then, suit and boot for next week. I think this, it seems to be working.
You think this is something that he'll keep up into next year for next summer?
Depends on how we open up for like this COVID stuff. It's his own project, right? Because he talked about how it was sad for him to leave the whole E3 stuff. It may take up a different form if all the events are back in the cycle, right? Next year. So I think it may be adjusted. And because everybody is doing stuff online now, they're realizing how much they can do versus not necessarily go somewhere to do them, right? For what's interesting about this whole thing, and this could be a sidebar, but I think it fits, where individuals who are so excited to go into a studio, and those individuals who look down on home studios have a better appreciation for home studios now, right? So it's like all these things that we either looked over or looked down on, we have a better appreciation for. So the fact that we've had the ability to be so digital for so long, and now we're really embracing what it really means for us. And I think that a good portion of that is going to trickle down into next year as they're preparing events and things like that on what they show, right? It's less expensive to do state of play than to be on a show floor, right? Nintendo has shown us to do a video on YouTube is more impactful for them and less taxing on the team than it is to have some big thing at, you know, an E3 or something like that. They still may do something, but I think leveraging those things is going to be something that is going to be fast paced, because it's like the speedboat versus like the big, you know, carnival ship, right? Different speeds, you know, you turn faster, right? And because you can make those adjustments quicker with the stuff that we have on digital, it just makes sense to adjust the event yearly with whatever's going on.
Because I know he didn't really say if he would be continuing on. I think it's great that he stepped up, like, to try to bring people together, to bring some type of joy for people, especially for missing E3. What I get for this entire process is that I'm enjoying, so far, it's only been 2 weeks in, but I like it. I like the little news bits. I have, like, something to look forward to for the week, as long as I have something scheduled. But I think it's just a human being, and I think it's the process as we get older, just to see somebody who's going to step out of it. Like, he's been doing E3, what, 20 years? Long time. A really long time. And he's been in the gaming industry. Like, I don't think there's a single person I know, or at least a single gamer that I know, that doesn't know who Jeff Keighley is. But to not get stuck in this routine, to like, okay, I want to expand. I want to try something new. I want to, it could go bad, it could go great, but you're trying something different and getting out of your box and, you know, exploring, seeing what happens. I like that process. It might be terrible, but so far I have no doubts in whatever Jeff Keighley does.
No, it's working, and expectations are always going to be high, but I do believe that it's working. Indeed. Indeed. So that's what we have there. Okay. So this week was interesting as well, as we looked at a game that's 5+ years at this point old, maybe more. I don't even know. But GTA 5 is free on Epic Games, and that demand for the game was so crazy that I shut down the site. I was trying to.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah. So, were you able to get it, or did you already have it on PC?
I technically did. Bought it like during one of the sales at some point. But I, of course, I'm gonna go get it on my Epic Store.
Right.
It's free.
Yeah, I didn't have it for PC up until this week. So I had it for Xbox One, I believe. And I was like, man, it'd be cool to get it on PC. But can you interact with the Steam community in with that, or is it just I don't know what the platform is in terms of?
I think you can. I'm not 100% sure, to be honest.
That'd be good to look into. I'll definitely look into that to see if you can play across those two platforms. But that game is, I mean, legendary at this point, right? Like, it's just crazy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
wild. So, but I'm also the same person that said, like, can we just not have any more GTA 5?
Right.
So. I mean, I appreciate it for what it is. I'm not trying to be a full-on hater. It just, I don't know, maybe I'm just ready for the next one. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think there's something that we don't even have on here. I want to add it. The Mafia news? What was going on with the Mafia news?
Well, I don't know.
I think they're doing a remaster of the first and second title.
I've actually never played any of the Mafia games. It's not quite on my spectrum of things.
Mafia 1 remake official gameplay screenshots. 2K is remastering the Mafia trilogy. Okay, so yeah, so that was news. Yeah, that was so subtle, and almost forgot about it. Mafia trilogy being redone. So yeah, that was news as well. Trilogy being redone. So I want to add that in there. I played parts of the first one, and maybe the second one, but I don't think I got to the third game. So that's happening as well. And Phil on Next Gen. This was a comment that I saw made, and I will read this. This is Phil Spencer on Next Gen Conversations. Phil says, we're trying new things, listening, learning. We gave ourselves room to improve, and we will. We believe in our plan. I'm 100% on Xbox One. Xbox. What's the name of this new console? Xbox Series X. I say one? Xbox Series X. Playing games, watching platform, tech land, seeing what's ahead. Patience is the most difficult part for me. That's not C19 related. That's just me. Any thoughts on that?
No, not personally. Okay. I mean, isn't that what you should be doing?
I believe so. Yeah. But I think sometimes you have to say it out for people to understand, like, what you're thinking, because it's one thing to assume what someone is going to say or whatever, but it's one thing when they say it and lay it out there and be like, oh, yeah, okay, so you're thinking like everybody else, right? But it's like, we forget these individuals are human, right? They're big creators and directors of major companies, but they actually have thoughts of, hey, what am I going to eat today, right? Should I drink more water or less? Did I take my vitamins today? Right? Things like that. They're human.
I hope so.
You hope so? Yeah, so that's it on that. So patience and good games. And I think that even with the direction of how Microsoft is going about things to make sure that most of their titles and experiences are available to pretty much everyone, I think that's great. So, next gen graphics architecture, Ampere. I think that's what they're calling it. NVIDIA's next graphics architecture, Ampere. Thoughts on, are you upgrading anytime soon if they release this stuff? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, for the Ampere, what they're going to be releasing isn't really for consumers yet. I'm going to upgrade my video card eventually soon, but yeah, for the Ampere, what they're coming out for is more of a commercial. I don't have $200,000. So. But the technology that they have going into that will eventually trickle down into the consumer products. I am You always want the latest and greatest, but my wallet cannot handle that. So, you know, even then, it was like I was debating on eventually upgrading to the 20 series, one of the 20 series. I'm not sure which one yet. And then I have a friend who's like telling me, he's like, oh, you should wait for the one that comes out. It comes out, like, you know, in a few months later on this year. I'm like, yeah, I can't afford that. Like, I don't know how to go about that. Like, if you can afford it, I mean, go for it. Sure, it's your money. Enjoy it how you will. But for me, it's like, I don't. There's certain things I have to cut back on. And I think the 20 series will be way more than enough than what I needed to do, because I have the 1070 right now. And I don't have a problem with the current games. I have a feeling that come Cyberpunk 2077, I will have a problem. Because right now, for my PC right now, my video card is my weakest point. It's the only, currently, the only thing in my rig that I actually reused again when I rebuilt it. So, yeah. Definitely the video card, but I can't just jump on like whatever the newest and greatest is. Even the 20 series, like some of them, I think I was eyeing the 2080. Still like $1,500.
Right.
Okay, fair enough. Very, very pretty penny.
Leading edge Ampere GPU architecture. Okay, so that's what's going on with that thing. Okay, so Anthem. Any thoughts on that?
Why am I laughing? No. When
I say that. I shouldn't be laughing when I say that.
Would you like to try again?
Yeah, so let me try again. All right, hold on. Wait. Anthem's overhaul, Daniela, what do you think about that?
I like that upward uptick at the end. You tried.
Why are you doing this to me?
I got nothing for it. I mean, you know, even Fallout 76 is really still trying to salvage itself and everything that it did. And, you know, Anthem's trying to do the same. They're not giving up on it. But is it too little too late?
Incubation period for Anthem 2.0. Okay, so incubation team has kicked off, and we are starting to validate our design hypotheses and experimenting prototyping to improve on areas where we believe we fell short. I got thoughts there. And to leverage everything that you love currently about Anthem. All right, so here's the question, Daniela. You ready for the question?
Yes.
Okay. What do you love about Anthem right now?
That I don't have to see or read about it on my newsfeed? I literally see nobody talking about it. I don't. And I'm sure there are people who are talking about it, but I'm not seeing it.
Okay. All right. I'll share what I love. Do you want to hear it?
Okay, what is it?
I like the fact that they did a really, really great job with the graphics of the game. I really enjoyed watching that. And I hope they can build on that.
Yeah, they did do that. It is a nice looking game.
Yeah. So yeah. So that's all I have there. So right behind the Anthem news, right, is Bungie stuff. So Bungie has been an interesting place. I stopped playing Destiny for a while because I felt like my activities in the game wasn't fruitful, right? And I think that once your activities in the game no longer bear any fruit, I think you should either take a break or not, you know, whatever. Play another game, right? And I think that the changes that they're trying to introduce in Destiny with the seasonal things and weapon caps, weapon level caps, and different things like that may introduce a different dynamic to the gameplay and how you're engaging with the game again, if you will. And I think that right now, even yesterday, as I was mentioning, and I think this was in a conversation when we started recording, that I was playing Destiny last night. And I mean, a beautiful game. Runs amazing. I had it on the highest setting, and I really like the fact that I felt that my activities last night in the short span that I was playing was rewarded with things that will help me progress, right? And I think that as long as that's there, and even though I'm very specific about, you know, my weapon types and stuff like that, that's not going to change. So they could change the meta of the loot pool however they want to, but I'm always going to use pulse rifles. That's just my jam, right? So that's not going to change. So what's going to change is whatever pulse rifle I'm using now, if it caps at a particular season, then the next following season, I may have to consider another pulse rifle that's going to be a part of the level cap for that season, right? And I think little things like that I could deal with, no problem. But if I'm playing Crucible, Destiny's Crucible, right? The power of my weapon doesn't matter in the regular matchmaking, but it will matter in Iron Banner, right? So little things like that, okay, no problem. I'm not upset about anything that I see that they're considering. I think it's a change that's going to bring zeal back into the game, and yeah, and I'm excited about it. And that's it.
Yeah, that news is all you. I don't even remember the last time I touched Destiny.
I know, that's why, you know, I went a little rant and I'm done. Okay, so I know you like to dance, Daniela. Okay. Did you see the Dan Dance Revolution 5 stuff for the browser?
Yes, I played it. I played it last night. It was a little bit difficult. So, first of all, I could not get it to run on Chrome, even though it says that it should. I couldn't. It was just loaded into a black screen, so I had to use Firefox. And that, I went perfectly fine. Yeah, the website is all in Japanese, and Google, and you can only translate so much of the site. So that took a little bit of like, you know, trying and hoping for the best when I click on a link. But I played it for, you know, about an hour. I didn't realize an hour went by.
Right.
The music is always so good. I don't have a dance pad, so you can hook up your dance pad or you can use the arrow keys on your keyboard, which isn't as much fun. And, you know, it's a small four buttons there to be sticking with, which is funny because I use a my left hand, which is on WASD, is so used to that type of movement that, like, I didn't have any pain in my forearm.
Right,
after playing for, like, an hour, my right forearm was like, okay, this is so weird. I gotta change it. Like, I hope I can change it. But it's good, though.
How was the latest?
Not bad at all.
Very, very interesting. Okay, sweet.
Why, did you give it a try?
No. I'm not a dancer like you on these
It's just, I'm just dancing on my fingers. No, I don't have a dance pad.
Oh, man.
No, I don't. A long time ago, I did. But no, I don't have one. And I don't know what, you know, if all the dance pads are supposed to be, you know, universal, because I had a couple different ones. So I don't know if they're supposed to be, but it's from the sounds of it, it's supposed to be just simple plug and play. Well, plug and play it before you start up the game. But no, it's like I just use my keyboard. Pretty smooth. Pretty good.
Okay.
Only 15 songs.
Only 15
I liked
songs?
It.
That's a lot, right?
Yeah, with many difficulties in there, which going from, I think, beginner to hard, I forget the two different levels. So it's like a huge difference. I was like, oh, I got this. This is so easy. Step it up one level. Nope, I don't got this. Go back. Go back.
Man. Okay. All right, I'm not going to do the Dance Dance Revolution. That's all you. I'll leave it for you.
Well, it's fun, though.
Okay.
It's a nice little time killer.
All right, Paper Mario, anything there?
You know, I'm gonna put this out there. I might get hate for this. I have never been interested in Paper Mario.
Oh,
I just, like, it does not, like, the visuals does not appeal to me at all.
Okay. Super hot take, Daniela.
Yeah, it doesn't. And I'm like looking at it. I'm like, I just don't see it. It never appealed to me. It's probably one of the few Mario things like I really just don't care to touch. Like I feel like I'm like I can miss out on this. I still like what the Mario game that I do want to go back and I want to go and get soon as I can get off my Animal Crossing addiction. Luigi's Mansion. That's what I want to play.
Okay.
So, and I've never ever jumped into any of the previous ones, but three, I'm like, I love Luigi. I love Luigi more than Mario. Probably because he's tall. Short guys kind of creep me out. Well, no, okay. I shouldn't say it that way. Like, shark rays don't freak me out. It's just that, I don't know. Story time, a little bit of sharing here. No, I think it's just because when I play a game, I always feel like is how relatable this character is or how much I like this character. It's really super shallow, really super shallow. And I feel like I could date Luigi. I couldn't date Mario. It's just because I've dated guys that were shorter than me and I can't wear heels. I feel like Luigi, I can wear heels and it'll be okay. And then I also think about like the terrible Mario movie. And I was like, I can't wear heels. I mean, I could, but then I don't want to be the one that has to bend down. Gotcha. I know it's super shallow. It is really super, super shallow of me.
Gotcha.
And that's what, like, I'm like, I like tall guys. Luigi, you're the one.
Okay. Okay. All right. So last but not least, Daniela, this was fun. Unreal Engine 5 and PS5 tech demo. React, Daniela.
Man, that was beautiful.
Okay.
I thought it was the entire. Okay, I'm not gonna dive into the entire like console war thing about it, and you know Xbox is PlayStation that or look better on this. Blah blah blah. Is a 30 frames thing.
You sure you don't want to do that? You
don't, no,
the 30 frame versus 60 frame stuff.
Well, okay, we can jump into that one, but not the console war thing. So. I guess we can start off with, you know, starting off with saying Xbox, like, will create the standard of 60 frames, but then, you know, they have some footage where it was at 30 and, you know, they're like, well, I understand where their wording is coming from. Okay. Well, now, not initially. It's like they're expanding it to give developers the option to go up to 120 frames, the option to go and do that. Based off of their hardware. That's how it's being built. And it's up to them on their end if they want to do 30, 60, 120, whatever it may be. But there's going to be trade-offs to it. There's always going to be trade-offs for the quality of content of things. And I think from a PC standpoint, I understand that. Because in PC games, you can choose your resolution. You can choose, you know, if you're going to be locking your frames or if it's going to be unlimited. You can choose those things if what you want. You don't really have that same type of options on console. I don't know if we will ever get to that point where we will, but based off of the hardware for a PC game or based off of your hardware, you're going to choose visual settings that fit. That's why we have, most games come with like this bench testing where it'll run through like this baseline where they're showing all these graphics and, you're not really playing it. It's like a visual, just a clip that they have playing on there, and it'll go through and check your hardware settings on here. And then at the end, it'll tell you based off of the hardware that you have, this is our recommended settings for the best experience. And it's never like, unless you have the most top of the line rig, it's never going to be like the max. You can't play everything on ultra. Unless again, you have that setup. I can play things on ultra and I'm okay with that. I am okay with the certain trade-offs. And if I want to play, or have certain settings on ultra, I have to cut back on something else to free up the resources that are needed for that. And I feel consoles are still have that limitations. Like it's still a console. I'm not saying that is a bad thing, but it's not going to have that upgraded. Like you can't upgrade your RAM, can't upgrade your graphics card in it. If anything, you only be able to upgrade your hard drive most likely in your console. So it's really hard for them to, you know, be able to do that. And you have as a console player, you have the ability to can have that much control.
Right.
And choose what you put of value first. I think the wording when they first originally mentioned that should have been a little bit better because now you're having to take back, okay, so we want to make 60 frames a second the standard, but that's not all up to us. We're giving developers the option to make it happen if they want to. So, and it's still You can notice. If you really, really, really pay attention between the differences, yeah, you'll notice it. But I'm also, for me personally, am not the type of gamer where visuals are everything. If it's affecting how I can play the game or in, you know, intense fighting scenes or anything like that, yeah, then I'll have a problem. But overall, for me, I'm the type of person that it's, if you have a good story, I can still enjoy it and I can still be immersed into it. I don't care if it's at 30 or 60 frames or 120. And those are my thoughts.
Okay. All right. I enjoyed what I saw, especially with the PS5 tech demo. I just want to fly in that demo. I know that demo is, may not necessarily come out for us to actually enjoy it. They mentioned that it took about 7 months to put together from September until March or something like that. And there were also some hot takes in there as far as PS5 is going to be more powerful than a PC or something like that, or something that lended towards a hot take like that, which doesn't make any sense to me. From what I understand, as you mentioned, the console is a closed architecture where the PC is an open architecture. You can continually upgrade pretty much most of the stuff whenever you feel like it or whenever there's a big upgrade that you want to do, right? So with that, I like the fact that Unreal Engine 5 is going to offer creators the ability to do so much with such a powerful engine. And I think that they say they're not going to do anything with the money stuff until 1 million in or something like that. I think there was a news clip that says they're not going to Unreal Engine 5, 1 million or something like that. What was that about? Unreal Engine royalties. I think that's what it was. Yeah. Unreal Engine is now royalty free for the first 1 million in revenue. Yeah, that was the news. So with stuff like that and seeing how powerful the engine is and how that particular demo had some inspiration from Uncharted and also Tomb Raider stuff, I really enjoyed that. The flying scene was everything for me. Once she started flying and I was like, wow. So I really enjoyed that part of it. And just enjoy the fact that we're getting some awesome technology that's going to be upgraded. That's always fun. And they also mentioned that Fortnite is going to be upgraded to that engine as well. So that's cool for the individuals who enjoy games like Fortnite. And we've seen Unreal Engine do a lot of things, from individuals using it in an emulator stuff to the games that we've been able to see come out with that engine. And I think that it's awesome to have stuff like this, right? And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed every minute of it. I thought it was great for conversation. It was great for banter. It was great for hot takes. And at the same time, it's great for the industry.
Yeah, we don't get into console wars here. We might have preferences.
Preferences,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so we have preferences. What's your number one and number two right now?
Currently, based off of playing in the last, 2 months, my Switch.
Okay.
But overall, PlayStation, my Switch. No, okay. Overall, PC, PlayStation, Switch.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my Sega.
Which one?
My Sega Genesis.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. So overall, I think
one and two is about. And then my Xbox. My Xbox is somewhere in there. It's not at the top.
Wow, you're going to get hate for that. If you want to send Danielle a hate, you can send it to skip.gg/14180. She'll be in there answering your hot takes. You can do it in the podcast feedback section with Danielle in there. That's all I got. That's all I got. I think we got everything we need to get. We got the Ghost in there. We got Jeff Keighley stuff, GTA, Mafia, NVIDIA stuff, Anthem stuff, Bungie, Dance Dance, Paper Mario, and Unreal Engine 5 tech demo for PlayStation 5. I think that's pretty much everything that we wanted to cover today. You got anything else?
No. But if anybody's going to be jumping in on Crucible, comes out on the 20th, it's free on Steam, let me know. I'd love to play.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of it. That's my big plans. Yeah. Super exciting. No, I'm looking forward to this week.
Yeah, this week is going to be, you know, I'm sure we're going to get surprises between Monday and Tuesday, right? Typical, right? Game news Tuesday, right? We're probably going to get some there. Wednesday, we got Crucible. Thursday, we don't know. As far as right now, we don't know, right? and then Friday. So, and then Saturday we should be able to record our takes for the upcoming week. And that's been pretty consistent. That's been working for you?
Yeah.
That's all I got. So yeah, so guys, skip.gg 14180. Definitely check us out there. Podcast feedback. If you want your thoughts in the show, definitely let us know in there. And Daniela, the rest is yours.
Oh, mine. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in and listening and checking us out. And as always, you can go and visit our website at www.theshowradio.info. You can find all of our past shows there, as well on your favorite podcatchers, which is Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're everywhere. Just Google up The Show Radio and we're there. And if you want to follow us on all our socials and catch up on us and what we're doing and throughout the week, you can follow Andrew at streamerlinks.com/Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A. And you can follow me, streamerlinks.com/MissDJM. And until next time, stay safe, practice social distancing, and have a good one.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.